Robin, I think you're going to take it away here.
All right. Thank you, Nancy and Jim, for those opening comments. And good to see everybody today. I want to just, before I kind of turn it over to the board members to have some conversation, I just want to sort of remind us of what the intent and purpose for this retreat are. So it's definitively not doing conducting your business. It's really an opportunity for you to connect with each other. In this context, talk about sort of leadership effectiveness and how to strengthen and fortify good working relationships, all in support of sound public policy decision making. We'll also spend some time teeing up for the work ahead of you. So a big piece of that is looking at the lens, the framework of your policy making through the forestry program for Oregon. And we'll spend some time doing that today. So today's sort of about relationships and a little bit higher level view, dare I say aspirational in tone. And tomorrow we'll be really dropping down to look sort of more practically and pragmatically at the work ahead. So you'll hear a lot more from the department executive team tomorrow, talking about current and future strategic initiatives, the 2-year work plans that you'll be reviewing and approving again in a few months' time. And we'll try to knit that all together and set you on a course for success over the next few years at least. So just to kind of bring us into the space, and what would a retreat be without a little discomfort through an icebreaker? This is actually the part that's supposed to be fun. So what I'd like to do, just given what both Nancy and Jim have so eloquently described, and we've all felt so viscerally over the last 18 months of all the seas of change and all the uncertainty, no shortage of question marks that have sort of brought us all into this space. And also, if you're like me, you've had some forced introspection and sort of thinking about what your priorities really are. So to start, I'd like to ask you a personal question, and we'll go around each board member offer in a phrase or a sentence or two. As you have sort of been in this time of uncertainty, let's say the last 18 months, what have you found to be something that is essential to you? That can be a person, an object, a place, an activity, a mantra, whatever comes to mind for you. What is essential for you personally, through this time of uncertainty? And I will start with Carla. Lucky you.
Okay, can you hear me okay? And are you asking this as it relates to forestry, or does it necessarily have to relate to forestry?
I would keep it personal. We'll move into that space in a moment, but an opportunity for us all to get to know you, Carla, a little bit better.
Well, being in production, agriculture, I think we see firsthand the change and impacts of, record-setting heat we've had this summer, and just all the challenges that we are facing in very, very real time. I don't know if you watched the news this morning, but headline is, real price increases on food and another rounds of shortages, and we're on the front line of seeing that. And I think is something that's personal for me is, how are we doing at meeting our basic needs? Food, fiber, whether that's timber and housing or agriculture and food. It's just, meeting basic needs is seems to be more challenged today than maybe, any time that I would remember. And we have unprecedented challenges, and that's personal when you're on the front line of it.
Thank you. Why don't you pop it over to someone else? You can call on another board member.
Okay, Chandra, you're next. How's that?
This one I think is pretty challenging for me to answer. There's been a couple things that have been essential over the last 18 months. And we're just talking straight personal, you know, I think there's been a lot of uncertainty and fear out there throughout the 18 months, right? So yeah, my home place and having a spot where I have my family and they're all under my direct watchful eye, right? And I decide if they're going out that day or not and what protections we're taking or whatever it is, right? We've had a lot of mixed messaging out there. I think it's been confusing for populations about what is appropriate to be doing it at what times. And at the end of the day, it just turns to you and your own judgment and decision-making, right? And so I think one of the things that we kind of lost, maybe we didn't really have it, but is, you know, the trust in institutions to tell you truthful information, objective information that's going to guide you in some of these decisions. And you kind of just expect that your best interests, right? And the things that you're hearing from decision makers out there, they have your best interest at heart. And I think there's a lot of folks that don't necessarily believe that right now. And I think at the end of the day, it was a lot of family judgment of what you were comfortable doing. And so my home was a safe spot where I had complete control in that environment, right, as to what was going on. And I will say also that music has been a lifesaver in terms of being able to shut everything else out, right? And just appreciate being in my own space a little bit as well. Even in a chaotic environment, you know, you can put on headphones and be somewhere else for a little bit. And so that none of that really relates to forestry, but as far as just making it through the last 18 months, those have been critical.
Thank you. Oh,
I can kick it to Brenda.
Thanks, Chandra. Well, Robin, you certainly know how to make an introvert uncomfortable. So I guess what's essential for me is being able to be outside, which is where I prefer to be over being inside. But being outside in a place where I can go for long walks, either by myself or with my partner, and just think. And get away from kind of the craziness that's going on and some of the stress associated with all of the things that we've already talked about, pandemic and you know, what do we do to keep safe and what do we not do to keep safe or be unsafe. But I think what I value most in those long walks is being able to ponder and not think about the past so much, but think about where are we headed in the future, given all the uncertainties that we're facing right now. What's this area that I might be walking in, wherever it might be? What's it going to look like in 50 years? I won't be here. I don't know. But I do worry about it relative to what my kids might experience or what others who are much younger than me might experience, and what can we do about it? You know, what's our responsibility? And I guess that's where I spend most of my time thinking. You know, what's my responsibility to try to make this place that we live livable in the future? Okay, my turn. I'll turn it over to Ben. He's a very thoughtful guy.
Well, thanks for the setup, Brenda. I'll try to be thoughtful here. It's been a challenging 18 months, that's for sure, 19 or whatever it is since COVID kind of changed the world. I think there's sort of two parts for me. One, going back to what Chandra said, I would definitely echo that it's been chaos with two little kids in the house. But at the same time, that has been the biggest gift ever to have really sort of focused without lots of distractions time for family and my immediate family and my slightly extended family. That's essential. And to have all the noise of the meetings and the rest of the world that is starting to sort of creep back into our lives, have that gone for most of a year was beautiful. It took a while to get used to, but and I think coupled with that is the huge feeling of gratitude or being fortunate to have a roof over our heads and have a house with a yard, with a very large yard, where we can roam and spend our time. And in this time, just realizing how special that is and how fortunate I am with my family to have space and have security. And that, I think, dovetails with the second part, which is we live in the middle of the forest, and that being able to have room to roam and move around and go for walks and in the forest is such a godsend and so important to me. And so I feel so fortunate to have that. And I think that's both personal and professional. I work in the forest and I live in the forest, and that's been a real joy for me. So yeah. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Joe.
All right. Well, just it kind of occurred to me, I missed my last call with Robin, and I thought, did I miss the questions? Am I getting on this call and I don't know what the questions are? but I think this is pretty easy for me. I what's key for me is to remain thankful. I mean, it's just to really remain thankful and really to think about the things and how lucky I am to have the things that are in my life. You know, I mean, that's really where I kind of personally for myself have to remind myself in difficult times to be very thankful. And I think what that does for me personally is it helps me keep perspective. You know, perspective is also thinking about this will all end eventually. We will all be back together eventually. And that kind of perspective is important. And also what that kind of bleeds into is understanding different people's points of view. I think we live in a time where we have to just very, you know, people are very impassioned, you know, very passionate about different thoughts and feelings. And I mean, I don't know, I see that in my family. I mean, just in my extended family, how you have just very different ways of thinking about their values. And I was never so aware of it. And, you know, with this pandemic, you know, this really has come out just even in my extended family, how the different values that are within my family kind of surprised me in some respects, but just understanding that perspective and understanding where they're coming from. And I think that's just really important to me to get through that we all have a reason. We all have a history. We all have, you know, how we've gotten here and stuff, but truly being thankful, that's just something I always have to remind myself, just to truly be thankful for what I have. And I guess it's left to the guy in Grant County, Jim.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. And Robin, you know, when you start this off saying this is supposed to be fun, and then you accompany that with a nervous little laugh, that it makes it all really, really kind of overly nervous. But I think my answer is going to be a little different. Introduction. My thing, I think, through good times and bad, is my tractor. And the tractor is pretty essential in my life, living where we do. And wife, her ex-business partner years ago when we bought the ranch, she said, Jim, you know, in a man's life, the three most important things in a man's life, his wife, his children, and then his tractor. And having had the tractor for the last 22 years, it's amazing. This is a tractor, of course, with a load, the tremendous amount that I can do that I would normally need to have someone else there to help with. And I can lift heavy things, load and unload things. I can do tremendous amounts of work compared to what I could without that tractor. And I can use it for scaffolding. I can just many, many ways. And I guess what it really does represent, of course, in a certain way is what you can get done with the help of others. And so so in that way, all of you, staff and fellow board members, you're my tractor.
And I'd love to hear from Nancy as well.
Yeah, the fun button just turned off. I'm kidding. For me, it's pretty easy. The first one is what's essential to me is trees. And while I live in Salem, there are many places that I can find my trees. And certainly during the COVID time, that's been even further important to me. I also have a kind of a little saying that I, over the years, picked up and used, but it came back to me kind of during the last couple of years, and particularly, I would say, even in the last 4 or 5 months. And the phrase starts with ease. And so just about in any moment of time that I might be struggling, I can kind of run that phrase. So, you know, with ease, I'm going to have fun today. And so that's primarily it. I think the other thing that kind of turned out during the last couple of years for me, and actually three, is my partner and I had planned for having a van, and we ended up purchasing that and had it built out. And quite honestly, during COVID, it gave us a lot of freedom. We actually did not feel like we were stuck at home. We had everything we needed in there, and we were able to go to different places in Oregon and see beautiful places, but we still had our little nest. So I guess, you know, the van for a while was kind of my home. Those things have been very essential to me. So thanks.
Beautiful. Thank you all. Those all just, I think, resonate for me, and I can imagine they resonate for a lot of us. So I appreciate you sharing. So let's pivot to a second round, a question about essential. But this time let's set it in the context of your work here in the public sphere. And Jim, I think you actually set this one up well when you asked kind of a bigger question that you'd like the board to kind of think through at this retreat, which is how can the board be assist the new state forester in being successful? And my question to all of you is around leadership qualities. What do you consider an essential leadership quality, either for yourself in this work? I imagine you're leaders in all matter spaces, but let's kind of center it to the work here as a board member. And or, you know, what do you hope for in your new state forester leadership? So, this time, I think we'll start with Ben, and then you can popcorn it to the next person.
Oh, I'll get started, and I may have to circle back to as I have more thoughts. But I see sort of two primary themes to this work, and I think they were echoed as well, and I think what everybody said in the last rounds, and it's about people and it's about ecosystems. And I think the department really has two tracks that we're trying to keep or two balls we're trying to keep in the air. And working with a new state forester and bringing them up to speed, I guess, I see the department as a group of a large group of employees, of staff who are all doing incredible work. And there has been a lot of upheaval in the department, and supporting the department, keeping this group cohesive and with a North Star of where we're going, I think is really important work. And I think Nancy has done an incredible job of that in her tenure since I've been here. And I think the new state forester is gonna need to keep track of that. And that's sort of the one ball, and the other ball is ecosystems. And sort of as our ecosystems are changing, how do we relate to them? I think it relates to them comes before we how we even manage them. I think we need to understand them, understand how they work. And as they change, that relation and understanding changes. And how do we look at the forest ecosystems around us and understand them in the context of the future is critical. And those are not easy. There aren't easy answers. There aren't textbooks that tell us what the forest is going to do in 20 or 30 years. And so there's a lot of work and guesswork involved with that. So the two level top level thoughts. And I'm going to pass it on to Chandra.
Ben, I think this one is also a hard question, but I think when I think of leadership qualities, one item that comes to mind for me is accountability, and that being necessary in a leader. And I think that can mean a lot of different things, but at the end of the day, I think it encompasses someone who is able to communicate, right, what they're trying to do, who's able to articulate how that's going to get done, and at the end of the day is going to be able to demonstrate that either it has gotten done or provide the rationale for what factors have changed. And so it's a lot about understanding what you're trying to accomplish and communicating your values, and thinking about the language that you're using so that you're reaching as many audiences as possible, right? And that there's a meeting of the minds. And I think those are all really challenging things to do, particularly with forestry. And as Ben said, there's a lot of different perspectives and values that we're trying to think about in all of the decision-making. But there is a need, I think, for the new leader and also for this board and pretty much everyone involved in forestry to have a level of accountability. And I think that's what others that are closely watching what we're doing are expecting as well, including the legislature. So, and if I could sum it up in one word, that would be the word I would think about for a leader. And I will kick it to Jim.
Oh, okay. I thought I'd always get to go last each time. You know, I mean, we've gone through this process as we listed what we wanted to see in a new state forester with all the attributes. And there's a lot of really important attributes, communicator, et cetera, et cetera. But this, for me, just one word just immediately came to me, and that word is intensity. I want to see, I want to see a leader, a person who's just a born leader, and born leaders are intense. Just, you know, there's no two ways about it. They are intense. And I think we need a person like that. That doesn't mean they need to be awful. That doesn't mean they need to be mistreat people, but, you know, strong leaders may not be the, you know, most mellow people on earth. This is so it's just really saying, want to have somebody who's a natural leader and is just going to work really hard. This is the state forester job's one of the hardest, very hardest jobs in Oregon. And so we've got to have that kind of personality, in my view, anyhow. I'll kick it to Joe.
All right, thanks, Jim. Now, we went through all the different things we were looking for as state forester, and what everybody said, I completely agree. I think the next leader is taking on a great organization, extremely strong organization, a great board. I think they will have, I just can't say that enough, how much I respect this organization, Department of Forestry, and the people in it. And I think having a great leader leading that will be really critical to continue the great organization. I agree with Jim too. Somebody that is passionate and inspires the organization, and I think that has vision and creativity. I mean, creativity in such a changing, dynamic, challenges that we face, I think that will be incredibly important. And also somebody who's very, very positive and optimistic and sees the opportunities that Oregon has. And I think because we have so many, so that's what is important to me. Brenda, I guess you haven't gone yet.
Thanks, Joe. Nope, I haven't gone yet. It's hard to follow all of those great thoughts. I guess the one characteristic that I hope to see in the next state forester as a leader is being an authentic leader. That is someone who can be the leader, recognizing that that person has the same outward visibility to others as they would as a leader as they would in their personal lives, that they're authentic in terms of who they are as an individual, regardless of the role that they're playing, so that you know that what you see is what you get. I think too often I've seen leaders in a variety of different settings who put on this persona in their professional role, which is different from that in their personal lives. And you never quite know who you're talking with or getting in that respect. So I think an authentic leader is important. What can we do as a board to support the new state forester? I think we need to listen and try to understand where the new state forester is wanting to take the agency and then help support that person in those efforts and provide guidance where we see that there might be pitfalls in the future. And then I think the other thing that we can do is in a very kind and tactful way, remind the new state forester to be as open and transparent with everyone as possible. And I say that because Nancy's done such a great job with that. Those are going to be some big shoes to fill following Nancy. But I think that goes just a long ways toward building trust with the board and with the agency, with the legislature and with other stakeholders. So just a few thoughts. Oh, let's see, Carla.
Okay, thank you, Brenda. Well, I really like the conversation around leadership and finding, you know, what type of leader is really gonna be best for this organization. And, you know, to add to that, just the excellent communication skills that Nancy has brought us, and just how valuable that has been. I think in terms of our support, you know, for me, it's always, how do we be sure that new leadership and this board brings the biggest picture possible that really allows us to make sure that the policies that we're working on really fall within the reality of what's happening in the industry and in the whole context of what's going on, you know, in timber around the world and here. I think we're all committed to a different conversation. I know the new members, when we came on, were very committed to helping to end the timber wars and really, really help with solutions and find a different conversation for Oregon. And I feel like that's just such an important role for all of us as leaders. And, you know, just understanding that big picture, there's a lot of global trends going on right now that are very real, that will bring different land ownership patterns and different business models and structures. And I think it's just so important that we really keep on top of that big picture as we think about the policies that we're working on, and that will be part of our role. I think that's all of us.
I think you're right. So you can return to some of these conversations throughout the retreat, and we'll have an opportunity to kind of check in on all this tomorrow again.